All right, want to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Now, this per se is not a Christmas message, but one aspect every Sunday ought to be about Christmas. Amen? Jesus came to die for our sins. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8 in just a moment. You know, I mentioned with you last Sunday, a few years ago, back in 2010, Southern Baptist did a survey of people and asked them what they wanted for, what they wanted out of life. And this was unchurched people. This is not people in church. They asked just people, average people on the street, so to speak, what do you want out of life? And here were the top four answers. It's kind of like the old game show, Survey Says. They were looking for hope, and we looked at that last week, and our hope is found in Jesus Christ. They were looking for life. And they were looking for peace in their life. So much toil and turmoil in our world today, people want to have peace. And they're looking for purpose. You know, it's not going to be long. Time is flying till it's going to be January 1st, and we have all the New Year's goals. And you ever thought about anything already that you'd like to do next year? Any goals that you have for 2018? That's scary to even think about. Do you have any desires you'd like to achieve? Or do you have a purpose that you haven't fulfilled in 2017 that you'd like to fulfill? I read a little thing about from Alice in Wonderland, the children's story. It said, Christians are without a goal are a little like Alice in the fairy tale Alice in Wonderland. In a conversation between her and the Cheshire Cat, Alice asks, would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here? That depends a good deal on where you want to get to, said the cat. She said, I don't care much where, said Alice. Then it doesn't matter which way you go, said the cat. If you don't care where you're going, it doesn't matter where you, what direction you go in. So let me ask you a question. Do you care where you came from? Do you care why you're here? Do you care where you're going? And let me just say, if you're this morning, you don't care where you're going when this life is over, then you're probably lost because you haven't realized that there is a heaven and a hell to be gained and a hell to be shunned. So we want to look this morning at purpose that God gives us in our life. And I think we can find it in this same passage of Scripture that we looked at last week. There's just so much in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. So if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Behold, the angel of the Lord shone before them, stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And those who had heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for your word, the hope it gives us, and the purpose it shows us for our lives. Pray that you'd help me to proclaim your truth this morning in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that what I say would bring honor and glory to you, would edify your church, and would speak to that person here this morning who does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that they would trust him and be saved. May all honor and glory and praise be to you and to you alone, for it's in Christ's name I ask it, and amen. You may be seated. I want you to notice the first thing here we see is the revelation that was given them. Notice in verse 15 it says this, now let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. But you know, God's all about revealing himself to you and me. God's revealed himself through creation. God reveals himself through our own conscience that there is a God. We're here for a purpose. We're not just like an animal that lives for a little while and dies. You know, Ecclesiastes says he has put eternity in our hearts. That is it. You go to the average person on the street and ask them, do you believe there's a heaven and a hell? They'll tell you for sure they believe there's a heaven. They'll tell you they believe they're going there, even though they don't know how and why. They don't know Jesus Christ. They just think somehow, some way, there's another life to be, and they're going to attain it. But God's about revealing himself. Notice God sent an angel to bring the message. You know the word angel means messenger. But notice what the shepherds did. The angel came and brought the message, and they said, which the Lord hath made known to us. They realized the angels were not the one giving the message. They were just a messenger of the message. And shepherds acknowledge that. You stop and think about that message that God revealed to you himself. Who told you? Who prayed for you? Who brought you to church so that you could hear the message? Who witnessed you and told you about Jesus Christ? What message and messenger did God use to bring you to himself? If you don't know him this morning, he's right now speaking to you that you need to know him. Let me ask you a question. Would we have known the message if someone hadn't told us? No, we wouldn't have. And let me ask you a question. Who do you know that unless you tell them about Jesus, they will never know? It's the good news of the gospel. They said, this message of a Savior is born for us, is made known to us. God had a word for them. He said, good tidings of great joy. Good news, good, great joy, salvation, a Savior has come. You'll find him lying as the babe in a manger. He had a word for them. You know, he's got a word for us this morning. Have we heard his message? You know, we're a little bit early for Christmas, but Christmas should be all year round. That Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Amen? You stop and think about it. He sent an angel to reveal the message. He had a word for them that he was giving them. And his presence verified the message. If you stop and think about it, verse 9, it says, behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. It's talking about his Shekinah glory. Do you know they had not seen the glory of God in like 600 years? I don't want to go into a long detail about it, but Ezekiel, when the children of Israel captured in Babylon, God takes Ezekiel back to Jerusalem in a vision. Now, I don't really know. It didn't really tell us if he actually transported him back to Jerusalem to show him, or he took him in spirit. But he takes Ezekiel back to Jerusalem. He shows him all the sins in the temple, graffiti, but so to speak, writing on the wall. And Ezekiel says he saw the glory of God in the temple. Then he saw it go above the cherubim. And then he saw it go above the temple. And then he saw the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, go over the Mount of Olives and hover over the Mount of Olives. And then Ezekiel says, whoosh, God's glory went back to heaven. They hadn't seen God's glory in 600 years. You know, God's glory had appeared to Moses in a bush and led the children of Israel in the wilderness, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It had filled the tabernacle when Moses... They built the tabernacle, put it there, and God's kind of glory filled that tabernacle. And when Solomon built the temple, the glory of God filled it. But now it's been gone for 600 years. But now God's back. On the hillside outside of Bethlehem, the glory of God shone round about him because the true glory of God was born in a stable in Bethlehem. You know, the message that is God's not deserted them. He had not deserted Israel for 600 years, and he has not deserted me and you. It may seem like God's silent to you. Maybe you're praying about something. Maybe you're asking God for something. Maybe you're looking for some direction or decision in your life. And you say, well, God didn't answer me. I don't hear anything from God. That doesn't mean he doesn't hear you. Do you know, in the last book of the Old Testament was Malachi. From the time of Malachi to the time of birth of Christ here is 400 years. They hadn't had a word from God in 400 years. That didn't mean God wasn't there. That didn't mean God wasn't able to hear them and wasn't hearing them. We may not sense his presence in our lives, but let me tell you something. The revelation that he gave the shepherds, God said, I'm back. I really hadn't been anywhere, but I'm going to make known my plan to you now. I'm sending my son to die for your sins. Let me tell you something. God has not deserted you, and he will not desert you. It's interesting that Paul writes over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13, if we are faithless, in other words, if we turn away from God, if we're not being faithful to God, being obedient to him, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Praise God for that one, amen, because I've sure failed him plenty of times. I'm glad he never fails me. And our purpose is wrapped up in the revelation of Jesus coming to this world. Let me tell you something. The people out there outside these church walls, and maybe you're here this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have no eternal purpose. See, our eternal purpose is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And you got to know him to know the purpose. Notice, secondly, the realization that this was true in verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. They came to investigate. You know, I admire the shepherds. Because they heard the message and they said, we better check this out. Sometimes you tell people they need Jesus as Lord and Savior. They need to be saved. They're a sinner without hope, without Christ in the world. They're bound for a devil's hell without Christ. You tell them that and they just blow it off and don't even pay attention to you. But some want to investigate and they want to come to church. They want to get involved in a Bible study. They want to start reading the Word of God. They want to start finding out. That's what the shepherds did. They wanted to investigate this that they'd heard. They wanted to know. Let me ask you a question. What's your priority this morning? Do you want to know God's will for your life? Do you want to know God's purpose for your life and everything you do? Is it your pleasure or his purpose that you're seeking in your life? So many times we're just about doing what we want to do and living our life and having a good time and going down the road and just rocking right along, not realizing that maybe we're not doing what God wants us to do. See, if you find your purpose in life, your first priority will then be Jesus. And if finding your purpose, the true purpose, is not your first priority, you will never find it. In the movie Forrest Gump, Lieutenant Dan, after he'd gotten saved, he says to Forrest Gump, "said, have you found Jesus yet?" Forrest Gump says, "I didn't know he was lost. I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him." Do we really want to know his purpose? Do we really want to know Jesus' purpose for Fairfield Baptist Church? He's got this church here for a reason. Notice they saw the child. And you know, if you ever get a glimpse of Jesus, it'll change your life. Amen? And Jesus is not just an historical figure, though he was an historical figure. He's not just a religious leader, though he was a rabbi and a religious leader. And he's not just a baby born in the manger that we celebrate at Christmas. He's God in the flesh, born of a virgin. You know, and so many people today, you get into some circles who claim to be Christ, don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. I find that amazing and offensive. Because without the virgin birth, we don't have a Savior. But don't, you also have some character problems if you don't believe in the virgin birth. You'll have a problem with the character of Mary. If Mary had a child out of wedlock, and there was no virgin birth, then she was an impure woman. And I need just to remind us always, if we look down on somebody that has a child out of wedlock with down our noses at them, we need to remember we're impure too. Hello? You're going to have a problem with the character of Jesus if you don't believe in the virgin birth. See, if Jesus had not been born of a virgin, he would have been the son of Adam, and Adam all died. Jesus would have been born with the sin nature of Adam. And in Christ, we have all the sin nature because of Adam, but and we're by nature the children of wrath. And if Jesus was born of Adam, then he would have the same nature, the sinful nature that we do. He couldn't have been the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice for our sins without the virgin birth. And if Jesus was not born of a virgin, we don't have a Savior. We're still dead in trespasses and sins. But you're also going to have a problem with the character of the Word of God. You would think that the Word of God is clearly flawed because the Word of God clearly teaches, plainly teaches that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. And they saw the child and they believed. Remember what Jesus said over John chapter 20, verse 29? Thomas, because you have seen me and have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You believe in Jesus Christ? Hello, that was weak. You believe in Jesus Christ? You believe he's the Son of God? You believe he was born of a virgin? You believe he came to die for your sins? You believe he rose again from the grave? And if you trusted him as your Lord and Savior, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We have a Savior. Without the virgin birth, our faith is without hope. It's like a house of cards, and the winds and the rains and the floods are going to come and going to bring it down. Amen. And they responded to this truth. They went and told other people. I mean, they couldn't just see it and hear it and know about it and go back to their houses or their fields and just back to their normal way of life. They had to go tell somebody. Let me ask you a question. How do you and I respond with the good news we just went through as a group just a minute ago? Do we take it by faith, trusting, and then telling others about it? Is it something to be received and then hoarded? Is it something we desire to seek him and know him? Or we take it with indifference? So many people today, you know, there's kind of a stepping stone, if you would, when people about the gospel. And you can see it in our country today. First, when people hear the gospel, sometimes they're like, they just kind of ignore it. And then they begin to ridicule it if they don't receive it. And then they will flat out reject it. Is that not where we're at in America today? People rejecting the word of God completely. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to be proclaimed. They don't want... I was just reading on the internet this morning, President Trump is trying to... has given an executive order to withdraw the Johnson Amendment. If you don't know what the Johnson Amendment is, Johnson Amendment is something Lyndon B. Johnson put in the IRS code back in the 60s that said a preacher could not proclaim anything of a political nature from the pulpit. And Lyndon B. Johnson, from everything we can understand, did it because he didn't want anybody talking bad about him. Hello? But the Word of God says the man of God is supposed to proclaim the Word of God. It didn't matter what's going on out there. Amen. They want to keep it quiet in the pulpit. And President Trump says there ought to be freedom of speech in the pulpit as well as freedom of speech out here. Amen. Because you stop and think about it. God's men have always stood and God's people have always stood for truth and righteousness in whatever place they were in. You stop and think about it. Do we proclaim what we've heard. Notice the third thing here. They were reaching out with the truth. Look in verse 17. I love this verse. Now when they had seen him, and I hope you've seen him with your spiritual eyes, they made widely known that which saying was told him concerning this Christ, this child. And it goes on to say that they made widely known abroad. You know, you stop and think about it. They couldn't be quiet. They couldn't keep silent. You know, if you know Jesus' love and you know his forgiveness, you know his mercy, how can we be silent? I got a good preacher friend of mine. He said something years ago. And I went back and said, give me this again. I got to write this down. He got all excited in the pulpit. And he was one of these guys, Robert, he'd kick and go on and thrash and have, man, he'd get excited in the pulpit. But he said this. When one moment there, he got really happy. He said, when you got out of what I got out of, got in on what I got in, I know who I know and know where I'm going. He said, you decided too. And he said, kick right there. But you know, that's a pattern consistently seen in the gospel. People meet Jesus. He dramatically changes them and they can't help but share and give God glory. Who you witnessing to? Who are you telling about Jesus? Who are you praying for and putting some legs on your prayers by telling them amen? If you know him, God, that's your purpose. That's my purpose. Not just from the pulpit, but everywhere we go to tell somebody about Jesus. Billy Graham made this statement a few years ago. Billy Graham just celebrated his 99th birthday. I guess you saw that probably on the internet. But in My Hope America, he made this statement. He said, if you count 100 neighbors, he said, you will find this. And I think he's probably pretty much dead nut right on it. Maybe even worse now, a few years have passed since he said this. But he said, out of 100 people, if you talk to them, 7 will struggle with depression. 14 will feel crippled and trapped by fear. He said, 7 are addicted or they abuse alcohol and drugs. 8 struggle with the loss of a job. 3 are grieving on the loss of a loved one. And 60 don't profess to be born again. People need purpose. They need hope. They need Jesus. Amen. They couldn't keep silent. I hope and pray that tomorrow when you go out, wherever you go, whether you go to Food City or Walmart or Ingles or out there in your work, your place, wherever you go, your restaurant, wherever, and you see somebody, you tell them somehow, some way, and look for God to open the door for you to tell the good news to them. Amen? Amen. Our problem is we're not looking for the door or the window being open to share the gospel with them. It may be somebody saying something like this to you, how you doing today? I am doing great because I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior and I'm going to heaven when I die, no matter what this world brings. Hallelujah. I mean, that's just a simple open door. Tell them why you're happy. Tell them what you got going on. You know, they didn't restrict the news. Look in verse 20. We didn't read that one, but look at that one. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. I mean, they didn't just make a one-time profession there and tell people about it. They just kept on sharing the good news. Do we do that? Do we share it when Hamlin County or just in these walls? It's awful easiest for us to get in here and praise God when we're among brethren, amen? Do we praise him out there? Do we praise him in Tennessee, our country, the world? You know, less than a month, we're going to be receiving the Lottie Moon Christmas offering for international missions. 100% of what we give will go to fund international missionaries like my daughter and my son-in-law till they can go to Japan, to Takasaki, which is a lost city in a lost country, and tell them the good news. See, we ought to be giving and going nationally and internationally, across the road and around the world. Amen? Remember, God gave his best so that we might have his best. Remember some folks just for a moment. Remember the woman at the well, John chapter 4, verse 28 through 30, said the woman then left her water pot and went her way after she met Jesus now, and he gave her the drink of that living water. She said, went her way in the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they went out in the city and came to him. She went back into town and said, hey, guys, let me tell you, who I met a man who knew all things about me. It's got to be the Messiah. And when she told, guess what they did? They came to investigate. Hello? Remember the demon-possessed man? Mark chapter 5, verse 15. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting clothed in his right mind. He's been changed. He's met Jesus. They had bound him with fetters and chains and everything else. He was always in the tombs and crying out and cutting himself with stones. I mean, he's full of demons. Nobody wanted to be around that guy. But he met Jesus, and he's sitting and clothed in his right mind. But if you read on down a couple of verses in verse 18 of Mark 5, and it says, when he got into the boat as Jesus to go back, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. You know, that's like some of us sometimes. We want to go to heaven. I'd just like to go to heaven right now. We talk about heaven and all the troubles. I just don't want to leave this world behind. And he begged him to be with Jesus, but Jesus said to him, however, he did not permit him, but said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis and all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. He did what Jesus told him. He went out and told everybody. Decapolis there really refers to 10 little cities in that area. And he goes out and he just starts telling, hey, wait a minute. Aren't you the guy that everybody was afraid of? Aren't you the guy who was possessed with demons? Aren't you the guy that we were scared to come near? He said, yeah, but I met Jesus. He cleansed my heart. He made me whole. I'm a new creature. I don't have any demons anymore. Now, you know what else happens? Jesus goes across the other side. Sometime later, he comes back again. You know what the scripture says? They were all waiting for him because he had testified of him. Jesus comes back. All the people come to meet Jesus because they had heard the testimony. Shouldn't that be what we're about, our purpose? No disciples were transformed, changed by their relationship with Jesus, and they went out and told the world about him and turned the world upside down. Until we really zero in and find our purpose in Jesus, we're never going to be satisfied. We're never going to have peace. We're never going to have that fullness of God in us. But when we do what he's called us to do, there's joy forevermore. Amen? Jesus, I've come that you might have joy, and it might be full. And our joy is found in serving Jesus. C.S. Lewis said this, "The glory of God and as our only means of glorifying him, the salvation of human souls is the real business of life." See, we need to know our purpose. And we need to understand our purpose. And we need to fulfill our purpose. You know why? It's a matter of life and death. There's people out there that's going to die if we don't tell them. They may be neighbors. They may be friends. They may be family. If we don't tell them, they're going to die. They're going to go to hell. It's a matter of life and death that we fulfill our purpose. Amen? So we go to the invitation this morning. I want to just ask, if you know somebody that personally it's lost, maybe you've already been praying for them, would you just come this morning, we give the invitation, and just kneel down and pray for that person and say, God, help me to be a witness to them, and however you choose that you would save their soul. You know something? Jesus is going to be pleased with you and me because Jesus came to this world to save sinners. Hello? But let me tell you something else. There's people over the years that I've led to the Lord, not just in a church service, but just personally one-on-one. And guess what? They never forget me. They always remember me. And they're dearest friends. Why? Because I told them the good news. See, you don't just make a friend for this life, you make a friend for eternity. Amen? Father, we thank you this morning that you called us to yourself to save us, to take us to heaven. We praise you for that. But Lord, you called us to a greater purpose, to spread the good news of the gospel. You called us to tell our friends and neighbors. You called us to pray for those that are lost. Lord, I know you can do great and mighty things through us if we just submit ourselves to you. Help us to be like that woman at the well who tell people about a man who knows all about us and loves us. Help us to be like the demon-possessed man that tell people that what all you've done for us. God, help us to be like the disciples. Just go out and turn the world upside down for you. We give you thanks. And with our heads bowed and eyes closed just for a minute, we're going to have an invitation just a second. But when we start the music, as In Faith begins to sing and play, somebody's on your heart. God has somebody on your heart and your mind right now that you've been praying for, maybe you need to pray for, that doesn't know Jesus. Would you just step out as soon as the music starts and pray, come and say, I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to submit myself to you, Lord, to be a living sacrifice to you, to be a witness in whatever way you desire that they would come to you. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to start. I want you to come. Father, have your way in our hearts and lives. For all for the glory of Jesus, we pray. And amen. Would you stand with me?